The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. This is a special edition of the Bears Coaches Show featuring team president Ted Phillips. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now, live from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody. A slump-busting win by the Bears over the Green Bay Packers last night at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, and it creates a three-team logjam in the NFC North. Halfway through the season, everybody 5-3, the Bears, Packers, and Lions. So it's Victory Monday up at Hallis Hall, and a feel-good, a very feel-good Monday in the building. And the Bears Coaches Show live from the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak along with the president and CEO of the Bears, Ted Phillips, sitting in for head coach Mark Trestman on a short week. He and his staff game planning. So that's the sad thing, Ted, about the NFL. There's not a heck of a lot of time to enjoy it. Certainly off a Monday night win. I guess the short flight from Green Bay to Chicago was about it, and it's back to work. So you're sitting in and pinch hitting, and what a great night to do it, talking about that kind of win.
Making it easy for me, Jeff, after a win like that. And just being in the building today. You know, the coaches, like you said, they're back to work. But everyone else, big smile on their face. And well deserved. It was quite a victory. And you know, personally for me, you know, I'm usually sitting upstairs in a suite, but last night I brought my younger son for his first Lambeau experience, and I sat out in the stands. And if anyone thinks that the Packer Bears rivalry is still not the biggest, I'll tell you what, there is nothing sweeter than beating the Packers in Lambeau.
All right. Well, now you've piqued my curiosity. So whereabouts? And tell us some stories. Did they know who you were?
No, they didn't. Then it was a sea of green and gold, but there was a good smattering of blue and orange out there, and we were behind the Bears bench, about 25 rows, about the 40-yard line. And you know, as a dad, what an experience to be able to share with your son. But the best. Ending the game with two sacks, and then all of a sudden, that building just went silent. and it was like a funeral march, and the fans streamed out, except for the Bear fans. We stayed.
Did you stay? ESPN obviously handles the Monday night football coverage there, and I would guess there were about 150 to 200 Bears fans that hung out there chanting, you know, and unlike other venues that we have gone to on a Monday night, the Bear fans do linger, but there are also some lingering home fans. This place, all it was empty, except for that little section. Did you hang out in that section?
I just stayed in my section. that's all I did. But
that's great.
It was special. You know, we hadn't won. I was thinking back. I don't remember a lot of details of past games, but for some reason, some games at Lambeau Field that stick out, you know, the Walter Payton game.
Yep. Brian Robinson
blocking that field goal, won that game. In 2006, if I'm not mistaken, we opened the season there, and we shut them out at Lambeau Field.
That was Devin Hester's first return touchdown.
Very good. And so, we hadn't won there in, what, five straight times, so it was sweet. And it's okay to relish it for a few days.
Yeah, no question.
So I'm happy to pinch hit for Coach Trestman.
You're beaming. You've got inside knowledge of what it was like. So, you know, as a president and CEO, one of 32 top executives in the National Football League, you're sitting on those benches. It's a great venue. Let's just give them credit for that. It is a great venue to watch a football game. When's the last time you actually sat in the stands at an NFL game and watched just for enjoyment with your son?
Well, I usually do it once every year or two, and
do you? Okay.
Depending on how the schedule works out. So it's been a while at Lambeau, though.
Yeah, that's that takes some courage now. Takes some courage.
You know what? It's not as bad as you think. There's some good-natured ribbing, but at the end of the day, to come away with a victory, there's nothing sweeter in the NFL. I mean, that rivalry, I think, surpasses all other NFL rivalries.
All the pomp and circumstance surrounding it. I don't care what kind of streaks happen in the series. I don't care what it is. When you roll up there, and we left Appleton at 2 o'clock, on the first bus with the trainers and the equipment staff, Tom Thayer and myself, and you know, people were just everywhere grilling out already, and just you could feel the vibe. I mean, that's what it's all about. That night was great, and we haven't had too many Bear Packer Monday night games in Lambeau. I think that was the first one in quite some time. All right, so like every game, things are going down to the wire. It's tense. It's a nail nibbler, as I like to say. And now decision time. It's 4th and inches at your own 33. You got the lead by 4. Things are going well. Everything's moving in your direction. What'd you think at the moment? Be honest.
You know, at the moment, I kind of surprised myself. I normally, probably 10, 15 years ago, I probably would have been thinking, what are we doing? But last night, you know, for some reason, I really admire Coach Tressman and his ability to take risks, because he doesn't just do it haphazardly. You know, he thinks them through. There's always a rationale for why. And, you know, it's one of those things you can talk about forever. Mm. Was it a good decision, bad decision? What if he hadn't made it? The reality is he made it. And if that doesn't make the offensive line in particular feel so confident that the head coach believes in them so much, they can get the job done in a tight, tough situation on the road, nothing will. So
it's a dividend. It's a dividend payer.
Absolutely.
That's what that is. And I don't know that there's any offensive line, one who underperforms or is one of the best in the league, that wouldn't want that same job right then and there to clear a little space for your back to pick up a couple of inches, which in the league, you know, it happens all the time. You don't make it, but that's a trust builder. It's a dividend payer. I really believe that.
It is, and it's a great way to end the first half of the season, you know. And hats off to Matt Forte too. Nice effort. And when he first went around that corner, I thought,
well, Packers had some penetration.
Yeah, they had a little penetration, but he did a great job avoiding that and getting the necessary yardage that he needed.
And then you don't really anticipate. I mean, I know there's a 4-minute offense to finish games, but I hadn't heard of a 9-minute offense to finish games. But they had a 9-minute drive. It was something. 6 first downs, some great efforts by Matt in the run game, and just some terrific play calling and great effort by that offense.
You know what? That was just a spectacular drive that I haven't seen in a Bears offense for a long time. And I didn't know how many plays it was till
18.
Afterwards. It was 18 plays, but we kept watching the clock, and it just kept going, and we kept moving the ball, and it was special.
Yes, it was. A lot more to discuss about the game last night. Get you caught up on the day's news. Off day for the Bears. They'll come back tomorrow. They'll do some meetings, go through some walkthroughs, but the practice will be a shorter week with the Lions coming in on Sunday, so they'll get back to work on Thursday.
Under center, Josh McCown takes. Bears going to hand it off to Matt Forte. He slides left, and he just barely gets what appears to be a Bears first down. There was penetration by Green Bay, and Matt Forte got past it.
And that was last night's 4th and inches conversion. Now, Ted Phillips with us tonight with Mark Trestman taking the night off to get ready for the Detroit Lions. This is the Bears Coaches Show, and we come to you from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall. But a year ago, Ted, you might remember the Baltimore Ravens had a 4th and 29 run that was converted by Ray Rice. And covering the Super Bowl as I did, that was a big theme over the course of the week. Was that the keystone defining moment of this team, Baltimore, managing to work their way through the season, believe enough to get to the championship? And I'm not saying that is going to happen. We hope it happens, but you never know. Those little things, theirs was 29 yards, the Bears was inches. You never know how that might, for what we just talked about before the break, you know, elevate a team's confidence in not only in each other, but in their head coach, that, hey, we believe we can do even the little things that make a big difference to get to the postseason. You never know.
You never know. And, I've just been accustomed to just taking everything week to week.
Yes.
But that being said, you know, I got to say this. Then, you know, the coaches during the week, they're always in meetings. They have quite a tight schedule. But the way that Aaron Cromer and Pat Meyer, in such a short time, have put together that offensive line in a cohesive fashion, one in which all 5 of those guys, they understand each other. They understand their assignments. They're playing with confidence. And I think we've had maybe one
false start.
False start,
right?
Penalty,
I know,
in the first half of the season is incredible.
It is.
It's a big part of our success.
It's not a simple thing to put four new pieces into that puzzle, not let alone a new scheme and new coaches. They play discipline. Are they perfect? No, they never will be. That's an offensive lineman's mantra anyway. But they like each other. They have fun with each other. You got the 34-year-old Roberto Garza, the 22-year-old Jordan Mills. There's a big difference in ages here, but they have blended. They respect each other's abilities. And Kyle Long, while albeit a first-round pick, he's still raw. He's seeing things he's never seen before. And this team has faced multiple fronts and different types of aggressive pressure schemes, even in the last two games with Washington and Jim Haslett and with the Dom Capers. I mean, they threw a lot of different tailor-made packages to try and confuse the offensive line, and they held up very well last night. Tom Thayer gave the entire offensive line the Bears MVP last night, most valuable Bear to the whole group.
Thayer probably wanted to be out there himself, I'm sure. You know,
it was
and
great.
He'd probably do a decent job. But, yeah, and you forget that the right side of the line are rookies.
Yeah.
You forget about it. Eight games into the season. It's pretty impressive.
And that particular play was our Player of the Week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. 746 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM with Bears president and CEO Ted Phillips, Josh McCown, all week into the bye and out of the bye, grateful. Always a moment of gratitude for having an opportunity to represent this particular franchise and this particular set of guys. When you hear that repetitively coming back to you about how appreciative he is, did that resonate with you in any way? And does that reflect what Tressman is trying to build in this organization?
Well, you know, Josh is just exactly what you want in a backup quarterback, not to mention the fact he's got a great rapport with Jay. You know, they care about each other. They like each other. They help each other. And so Josh, yeah, he does embody really everything that Coach Tressman has preached since day one, even before he understood all of his players. When he walked in the door, he talked about winning the day, honoring the game, and caring about the guy next to you. And he's never wavered from that. And if that's not been embodied in how the offensive line has come together, nothing has. And Josh McCown caring that much about playing for this team and this coach, I think it's going to serve us really well going forward. I'm really proud of him.
Snap is back to Wallace. Wallace hangs in the pocket. Hit from behind. Down he goes. Sacked. And that'll end the ball game for the Bears. The sack finished by Shay McClellan.
Three sacks in his first 21 games as a Bear. Three sacks, including one that broke the collarbone of the NFL's top quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Defensive end Shay McClellan, our Player of the Week, brought to you by Tempur-Pedic. Welcome back to the Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall with President and CEO Ted Phillips. Jeff Joniak with you on the Bears Coaches Show. Ted's pinch hitting for Mark Tressman, back at work, getting ready for the Lions on the short week, and we're with you until 7:30 tonight. And that was great to see. Five sacks from the defensive line, three for Shay. Super nice kid. Okay, wants to be good. And probably nobody's taken more heat than the defensive line. Shay in particular, Long probably with Julius Peppers, but three sacks by a Bear against the Packers for the first time since Dan Hampton against the Packer. And he had three other pressures. Julius Peppers had the interception and sack. Corey Wooten had one of those two sacks at the end. That is safe to say was the best pass rush of the season, and it was great to see. And you saw it from a fan's perspective sitting in the seats.
Yeah, it was great to see. And, you know, Shay's probably harder on himself than anybody. And it was really a pleasure to see him have that kind of a measure of success. He deserves it. He works hard at it. He knows he's got to stay consistent and keep going. It's not just a one-time event where he can come through with three sacks and rest on his laurels, and he won't. So to see him and to see Julius Peppers, too, have the kind of game they had, impactful plays.
I found really it good. Interesting. Tom, in his keys to the game, he writes down, he scribbles. I could barely read it, Ted. You know, the penmanship at Notre Dame wasn't great.
favorite, Tom Thayer.
Hey, hey.
But he wrote one of the
key. What a shot.
Why, no? Well, you know, he's not here, so I could get away with that. He wrote the Jay Ratliff effect was one of his keys, thinking that, okay, you got this four-time Pro Bowler trying to get healthy. Bears took a chance and brought him in, and he's got a one-year deal, and he's coming off an injury, and, you know, maybe that makes everybody's play elevate. And, you know, so he was beaming after the game that maybe that was part of it. But, you know, you look back to how that transaction took place. Multiple teams reportedly were interested, but general manager Phil Emery decides to take a look at him. And it's a risk-reward scenario. Low risk, big reward if Jay Ratliff come in here and go back to his Pro Bowl playing ability at a position of need because of the attrition due to injuries at that position. You like the move?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of an under-the-radar move. I'm not sure a lot of people anticipated it. In Phil's usual style, which I love, he thought it through carefully. And I would say it's a no-risk situation.
Right.
It really is no risk. And if there's any kind of motivation for other players, fine. But there's motivation for Jay Ratliff, too. You know, he's got now somewhere less than 8 games, plus hopefully playoffs, to try to prove himself that he deserves, you know, more than just an 8-game audition for the Bears. And, you know, he saw some things that all of us see that are special about this team. He saw opportunity. He saw a great locker room and a coaching staff that knows what they're doing, and a team that's, you know, we're 5-3, so we're right in the thick of it. It's going to make for a fun second half.
And if, in fact, other teams were in a position to sign him as well and he had interest, one of the things that may have tipped the iceberg a bit was some of the fellas actually reaching out to him, talking to him, and that recruiting aspect, albeit, you know, I'm sure it happens all the time in the National Football League, as tight as players are and paths cross along the way, or coaches, in this case, Joe DeCamillis, you know, you get a good idea of what you're getting, the type of guy. And I read a quote, you know, this is a guy you'd want in your foxhole. That was DeCamillis' experience with him in Dallas. So, you know, credit goes to everybody across the board, not just the idea from scouts or Phil to make the decision.
No doubt about it. And that's what Phil does a great job of, is getting input from anyone, whether it's a coach, a scout, who knows about a player's past before they come in here. And it's given us positive dividends so far.
You know, I always say, I sometimes do interviews with these vets, much like every team, the one-year deal for a veteran is the deal du jour because of the way the salary cap is league-wide, and depending on where a team is at, you know, veterans are getting one-year deals. But, you know, they're taking a chance on themselves by doing that, obviously. And if they make an immediate impact, you're looking at a potential for either another one-year deal or a longer-term commitment if you're in the right age category. I first thought it was rough on these guys, but I think it's a great opportunity instead.
You know, it's a motivating factor as well. And, you know, from a team standpoint, we've got a lot of guys whose contracts are going to be expiring. But, you know, over the years, I've always thought, you know, if you could ever have a system where the guys who perform will get paid and the guys who don't, then maybe you move on. It wasn't planned that way, but the way the collective bargaining agreement has been working and the salary cap is going to be flat for a few years, or it's not going to rise a lot anyhow, there seems to be more of a trend towards one-year deals, and it makes for a little tougher job. You got to be really detailed, analytical, really thoughtful about how you approach contracts, but with Phil and Cliff Stein, we're in good shape that way, so we'll embrace that challenge.
The Bears Coaches Show, a special edition featuring team president Ted Phillips, is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Verizon. Once again, live from Hallis Hall, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Trips to the right, snap is back, blitz is on, McCown hit, McCown stays alive, zips to the end zone, backing up and makes the grab, Brandon Marshall, touchdown, and a penalty marker in the end zone. Marshall made a terrific grab, and McCown under heat hangs in there and zips a beauty.
It really was. You know, he couldn't even stride into his throw because he had some heat. The pocket started to collapse, but he still had enough mustard on that throw. And then Brandon's catch, one of the best you'll see. Huge touchdown, one of two thrown by Josh McCown as the Bears get the win at Lambeau Field in Green Bay last night, 27-20. Welcome back in to the Bears Coaches Show in the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall with President and CEO Ted Phillips. We're here until 7:30 tonight. And, you know, there's a bunch of personalities on this team. Obviously, Marshall is one of them. Very quotable. So certainly this is a no-brainer. Of course, Martellus Bennett is. Kyle Long, if you've heard him do interviews, he's got a fun side to him. Some of that turnover also helpful to build a different kind of chemistry in the locker room. Certainly on the ground floor with a new coaching staff, Jay Cutler more involved this year in that locker room. I see him a lot more there this year. Other guys with great personalities, James Anderson in the corner of the locker room is a cut up. He's constantly working all the younger guys into the conversation. You know, you got Martellus and Kyle's lockers right next to each other. You don't get this, see that obviously, Ted, but overall, you must hear some of it back through whatever you listen to or, you know, hear it from coaches and whatnot, or just in your own dealings with the players.
Yeah, and that's one of those underrated assets that we have is that strong locker room that I referenced earlier, and you're touching on it. The personalities, they're different, but they all kind of mesh together. And, you know, I think Coach Trestman and the entire coaching staff deserve the credit there for understanding the uniqueness of all the individuals, making sure that they do look out for one another. And, you know, this is a little aside. I'd be remiss if I didn't comment on Jay Cutler. And especially being in the stands last night, right behind the Bears bench, you could see how Jay was invested in every play. Every time Josh came to the sidelines, he was there with Coach Trestman. He's really turned into a leader. He has a way of showing all his teammates the kind of respect that they all deserve, and I'm really proud of him for doing that. And it's hard, I'm sure, because he was having a heck of a year, and he got hurt, and so he's missing some time now.
Right, well, he wants to play. I know he had his own show today, and there were a ton of rumors that started yesterday. Chris Mortensen said that he was in a position to return against Detroit. But Jay, you know, said that as much as he'd like to, he hasn't practiced. He hasn't really been able to throw completely yet, at least from what I read. I did not listen to the show. Right now, Josh is really handling a job over the last six quarters, and it really isn't Jay's decision anyway. It's going to be up to doctors, and the original time frame is really what Mark Trestman and Phil Emery have multiple times stated. That's what you're going to be working from. Is that your knowledge, and is there anything new to the story?
No, I don't think so. I think Jay's smart in that response. As much as he wants to play, we'd all love him to play. He believes in Josh. You know, he's the toughest guy on this team, really. Over the years, he's shown that. And he's also shown the ability to come back from injuries probably a little quicker than people think. So, you know, the docs have said minimum 4 weeks. If it turns out that functionally he can do more and he can do it without putting himself at risk, then,
that's,
you know,
the
we'll
key.
See. That's
don't,
the key.
Don't have a step back.
No, we can't have that, and he doesn't want that. So.
Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz are your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast SportsNet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows.
The Bears Coaches Show with Ted Phillips and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
I felt it was the right thing to do at the right time, and our guys did a heck of a job of blocking it up on the outside lane there, and very fortunate, but that's how it goes. We decided to make that decision, and it worked.
That is the decision to go for it on fourth and inches last night at Lambeau Field. Mark Trestman and the Bears make a big decision that leads to a nine-minute drive and ultimately a field goal and a seven-point lead. Then the defense was heard from a couple of sacks to end the game. Corey Wooten, a vicious sack, got on top of Seneca Wallace, hunted him down like an animal, so to speak. And then Shane McClellan with a finishing blow on the Bears. Get the win. Detroit in here on Sunday. A little payback, huh? Payback against those Detroit Lions. They hung 40 on the Bears up in Detroit. Again, it goes back to, yeah, you have to bite your lip a little bit because you know you're going to be in a physical battle with this group, but you got to maintain your poise again. You know, you got to do it again, and that's the key to dealing with Detroit. Let them have the 15-yard penalties. But they'll be here and got to tackle and stop Reggie Bush first and foremost. Got to stop the run in order to get to the passer.
The game's always big when it's a division rival, but this one is for first place.
Yeah.
It's for first place. It's one of two of our, you know, two home games in a row before we then go on the road for four out of five, before the rematch against the Packers at the end of the regular season. So these next two games are big. We want to be heading to the road in first place.
It sounds funny the way you put that just now. I've been saying the same thing, but at the same time, we just basically agreed that, wow, how could it already be halfway through the season? Eight games gone already, but the season is shrinking. And when you put it in that context, a couple of home games against, you know, a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a Matthew Stafford led offense that's in top five in the NFL, 4 of 5 on the road. Not simple. I know we're supposed to keep our blinders on and focus on one at a time, but each step now becomes a big step.
It does. And one week at a time, this week, Detroit.
You know, it's funny also because you look at the business of football and the actual sport itself. Yes, you're conditioned to look at it. But in your position as the president and CEO of this franchise, you can't just look at tomorrow and focus on one day. You have to look at a bigger picture. Is that difficult? Is that difficult to look at a bigger picture?
You know, you look at the bigger picture. There's things you have to do week to week that your staff's got to do to prepare for different games. But, you know, when you look for the big picture, you realize that you're doing things that are going to provide benefits for this great organization, for the Bears, for a long time to come. You know, that's part of, you know, investing back in Halas Hall and making this, in my opinion, perhaps the best facility in the league. That makes coaches proud, players proud, staff proud, and makes people want to be here. And we're all about hiring the best, whether it's coaches, GMs, staff. If we can hire the best, then we know we're going to be delivering everything we can for the McCaskey family.
You know, some of the coaches and players don't really get down to this side of the building, and the building now is much longer, I'll say, from one end to the other, and we're on one of the far end right now on, I'd say, the south end of the building. But the north side of the building is where football ops is and administration and where you are. But when they come down, you're like, wow, we didn't even know this was here, because they haven't had time to really look at it. And I want to relate a story when Otis Wilson came by, and the old ticket office is next to the current cafeteria, and he opened a door, and it was a closet now. Where did the ticket office go? So I walked him around. He goes, what's this? And he saw the suite that you have at the 50-yard line that overlooks the practice field. It looks like one at Soldier Field. It is absolutely beautiful, spacious, and luxurious, and you will entertain corporate partners and whatnot. And he says, wow, I can't believe this. He goes, who wouldn't want to play for the Bears? And that was a big statement from an old-school player about today's current situation in the NFL where, you know, every little bit matters when you recruit players or bring them in and want to build your brand through what you bring in personnel-wise. And I thought that was a pretty good statement from Otis.
It was, and part of the whole renovation is to separate out some of the things that we can do with business partners, with our media shows and our media content, and not have it interfere with football operations. So it's really a wonderful setup and gives us lots of possibilities moving forward.
I'll tell you what it also does. It puts a polish on it, because when the players, you wouldn't think that a 25-year-old kid cares about where he's going to be interviewed, right? But you take him to a nice studio, television studio, or an interview room like there is here now, and it's like somebody putting on a 3-piece suit and looking sharp. It says something.
Yeah, it makes you want to be part of it. Yeah. And even the kitchen and the dining facility, our cafe.
That's been a big hit here, huh?
It's been a big hit. And, you know, part of it is about showing everyone we care. And part of it is also, I mean, the food quality, outstanding from Flick. The players talk about it.
That's the name of the company, Flick?
Yes. And they're the food service providers. They do an outstanding job.
Well, I just think it was the culmination of a great week of work by our guys. They prepared very, very hard for this game. You know, all week, two good practices coming off the bye, and then three really highly competitive practices. And as I told the guys tonight, you know, hard work and preparation doesn't guarantee a win, but it gives you a chance. And we were able to put it all together tonight, and I'm excited for our players.
That's Bears head coach Mark Trestman in our postgame show last night after the win in Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. hope I'm not messing everybody up on their way home with the time. I keep making a mistake. I'm so sorry. It's 7:23, everybody. Ted Phillips here with me, reminding me of that very fact. I'll hear about it, no question, but it is 7:23, and we thank you for joining us here on the Bears Coaches Show. Ted filling in for Mark Trestman as he and his staff get ready for the Detroit Lions and their visit Sunday at Soldier Field. Enjoy a free Reds Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season, brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday, and you could do that after Julius Peppers picked off a pass. And you can listen to the next Bears All Access radio show, brought to you by Sports Authority, this Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. A few more minutes with President and CEO Ted Phillips. Let's talk about what we referred to earlier, and Phil Emery was on the show a couple of weeks ago. You know, that decision early to not really address anything contract-wise with players that may be coming up, and there's a bunch. Is it an intimidating number? And I don't know what the exact number is. It's over 20, but is it intimidating, or is it just part of the plan?
I think it's part of the plan. It's part of the way the league's going. To me, it's okay. You it gives you actually some flexibility to reward those players that you think can keep adding to the club in the future. And at the same time, there's always going to be change. And Phil Emery and Cliff Stein do a great job of handling the salary cap and understanding where our resources are and how to budget those appropriately. So I look at it as a welcome challenge.
Quarterback commitment is by far the biggest, the most significant, and you've seen what teams do. The Packers, just got Aaron Rodgers done. Joe Flacco gets done in Baltimore. Are these discussions you've had in passing with other execs? How do you handle this process? Because it's a big number, potentially.
Yeah, it's obviously an important decision. Phil and Cliff and I talk about it. I don't talk about it much with other team execs because every team kind of has a little different situation, not to mention the competitive edge that everyone tries to get. But, we're confident. We've got two quarterbacks right now that we feel we can win with. And we're looking forward to seeing how things play out. And Jay had a great first several games, and hope he comes back soon. And Josh is doing a great job as a fill-in.
And in terms of budget-wise, again, in the long-term plan, you guys positioned to do whatever you need to do to get this thing done.
Yeah, we've always been competitive from a budget standpoint, Jeff. We'll be that way again. So we'll make sure we have the resources to keep a consistently winning team on the field.
Three games in London now every year. I guess the Bears would have been a potential candidate to play the Atlanta Falcons in London next year. They went to Detroit Lions instead. It's going to happen, right? The organization will represent the NFL there at some point again. Everybody's going to have to do it. How do you feel about that and where the league is headed in the London side?
Well, we were the first team to ever play out in London in 86 against the Dallas Cowboys. We have a good following, very strong following internationally, the Bears do. We know it's a priority of the commissioner. So we'll cooperate, participate when asked. We actually did have discussions with the league about playing Atlanta this year. The one thing that you'll never see us do is give up a home game from our fans. If we do play again in London, it'll be as an away team because, our fans, and we expect them to come out in full force Sunday against the Lions, be as loud as ever. Big first place on the line, but we'll never take a home game away from them.
Fan experience always been paramount with you at Soldier Field, constantly addressing that issue. Anything new on the horizon? I know that the wireless situation will be a major improvement, and that's also a league initiative, I believe.
Yeah, we're continuing to improve the Wi-Fi and the DAS system at Soldier Field, along with the Park District. As we move forward, we're going to take a look at hopefully new video boards. Don't know exactly when that's going to come to fruition, but we're going to begin discussions with the Park District on that and continue to try to make the door-to-door experience for our fans the best in the league.
And that visual experience beyond what's on the field is significant now in today's digital age with your consumer.
Yeah, and you know what? We're working on an iPad app, and our mobile app has gotten good reviews, and fans want to be able to. They're mobile, and they want anything they want, Bears-related, wherever they are and whenever they want it. And that's what we're striving to provide them.
It strikes me as funny almost that 29 years ago when you started working with the Bears, you couldn't even imagine some of this stuff, and now you've been a big part of it.
Yeah, it's been 30 years with the Bears has been outstanding. I feel blessed every day. I thank the McCaskies for giving me so many great opportunities, and we just need that Super Bowl ring. Right. It's been too long.
You know, in terms of just the advancement of how you showcase your football team beyond what is happening X's and O's, it's a major difference in a short period of time, frankly, when you consider the history of the league.
It's a bigger business. It's an entertainment business, and I think we do a good job of making sure we put our football operations first, make sure they have what they need to be successful, and then the rest of it follows, and got a great staff that keeps things humming along here at Hallis Hall.
All right, lastly, last night, Coach Tressman involved at Virginia McCaskey. I couldn't think of a better way to capture the moment and finally getting a win at Lambeau Field. I don't know if you've had a chance to speak to her at all, but I'm sure it moved her in a very, very strong way.
It's a class move, and for the longest rivalry, and for Coach Tressman's first game against the Packers and a win, it's exactly the right thing to do.
Ted enjoyed it. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Jeff.
For Ted Phillips, I'm Jeff Joniak, along with executive producer Greg Miller and Andy Gersher and studio producer Steve Grzanich. So long, everybody. We'll be with you at 9 a.m. from Soldier Field. Pregame show and the noon kickoff against the Lions. Thanks for joining us on the Bears Coaches Show from the Chicago Bears Network Studios on News Radio 780 at 105.9 FM WBBM. Good night, everybody.